Let's throw it all a curveball. This is a sermon from Groundhog Day. I mean, the third Sunday after the Epiphany and conversion of St. Paul, not Sexagesima. But it's a good one, I think. Why is St. Paul so important to the Christian Church? And it was by Archbishop John T. Cahoon, Jr. And he has a good bit to say. I arrived in California to attend seminary in the fall of 1968. The diocese there... I didn't even start with the prayer, excuse me. Let me start over.
Okay.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Now, pick up where I was. He arrived to attend seminary in the fall of 1968. The diocese there was presided over by a bishop named C. Kilmer Myers, who would, about 10 years later, defrock me from the priesthood of the Episcopal Church. So we got an archbishop that was defrocked. But the Episcopal Church had gone off the rails by then. Defrock me from the priesthood of the Episcopal Church. Bishop Myers had been elected in 1966 to succeed the legendary James A. Pike. Bishop Pike was a brilliant and charismatic and controversial character. Underline controversial. He had resigned as Bishop of California because of personal problems. But he continued to challenge theological orthodoxy during his very noisy retirement. He denied such central Christian doctrines as the Trinity, the resurrection, and the virgin birth. And then he dared the House of Bishops of the Episcopal Church to try him for heresy, both because many of the bishops secretly agreed with him and because they were afraid of the beating Pike, the showman, might give them in the press. The bishops declined to charge him. The then presiding bishop was quoted as saying, "Heresy is an outmoded concept." Of course, if heresy is an outmoded concept, so is orthodoxy. The way the Episcopal Church dealt with Bishop Pike was a turning point in making the existence of our church necessary. That's why we're here now instead of in our beloved Episcopal Church, where Joe and I were raised in. The various reasons we left the Episcopal Church: prayer book revision, ordination of women, sexual confusion, creedal chaos, the flow from the idea that heresy is an outmoded concept. Today is a feast of the conversion of St. Paul. Well, it was a month ago. I would argue that except for the events of Jesus' life, which we recite in the Creed, St. Paul's conversion is the most important single event in human history. The moment at which St. Paul saw the light and heard the voice of Christ as he traveled to Damascus to arrest Christians marked the effective birth of the Christian Church. God set for St. Paul the task of taking a small sect of Jews who believed that their Savior had come to earth as a carpenter in an outback of the Roman Empire and making it into an international and inclusive religion. When St. Paul crossed from present-day Turkey into present-day Greece, Christianity came to Europe for the first time. The visits he made and the letters he wrote produced Western civilization. I want to tell you about two of my favorite of Bishop Pike's many delicious pronouncements. The first is, I don't believe in a God who tinkers. Though dressed up as a prince of the church, Bishop Pike rejected the idea that God is a sort of crude fellow who would stick his nose into human history and change things around. Such a God would not only have reached in and converted St. Paul, he wouldn't have come to earth in the womb of a virgin either. Not only does this view reject the Bible in its entirety, it is also a fairly convincing argument against any form of prayer or worship at all. It has been officially fine to think this way in the Episcopal Church for the last 50 or so years. Can anyone think we are here just for snobbish reasons of taste, or because we are too inflexible to accept change? The second of my favorite Pikeisms, one more directly connected to today's point, is St. Paul was wrong about sex. I hold the opinion that St. Paul was right about sex and about everything else he addressed. That is not because I have evaluated St. Paul's teaching and find that it squares with my notions of what is true. I believe that St. Paul is right because I accept the judgment of the first apostles and the fathers of the early church who teach that St. Paul speaks with the authority of God. St. Paul's teaching about sex and all the other topics about which he concerns himself are not things Christians are free to make up their own minds about. To reject St. Paul is to deny the work of the Holy Ghost. Churches which promote the ordination of women and the ordination and marriage of practicing homosexuals obviously agree with Bishop Pike that St. Paul was wrong about sex. People who remain members of such churches, no matter what their private opinions may be, give at the very least a quiet approval. I'd rather be here. Many of the great revolutions in the history of the church have become necessary because the church is always losing its moorings in St. Paul's teachings. The revolutions rediscover St. Paul and bring him back to his central position as the one who explains to us who Jesus is, what life in the Spirit is all about, and what the Father is up to. St. Andrew and St. Margaret Anglican Catholic Church, and I will add the Church of our Savior, stand as an outpost of that revolution in our own way. He was the vicar of St. Margaret and St. Andrew, and we're our Savior. Yeah. Nothing could be more important. Let us rededicate ourselves and our lives together to what is expressed in the words of today's collect, that we having St. Paul's wonderful conversion in remembrance may show ourselves thankful unto God for the same by following the holy doctrine which he taught. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as his most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.